This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session is a message that was first published back in March of the year 2011, and it's being put on audio in the month of November of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is found in Ezekiel chapter number 3 and verse number 17. And if you have the scripture available, this is God speaking, and He says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me." The title for this message is "The Watchman is Asleep." This is part 3 of a 3-part message. In other words, this is the final part. Now, when I left off last month, I was addressing the dilemma we all face, especially the black community. With all of the problems we are facing, we seem to be in a losing battle, because every time we appear to take one step forward, we get knocked back 2. The problem with us, as I alluded to earlier, is our lack of knowledge as to the real cause of our problems. When we consider the fact that God is in control, and the fact that nothing can happen to us unless He allows it, then what we need to be asking is, why is God allowing this to happen? And for that, we need to be seeking God or one of His anointed ministers for direction. Notice the term "anointed ministers." This is the qualifier. Just because someone is a minister, a bishop, pastor, evangelist, apostle, teacher, or whatever, does not mean that they are God's anointed. As I mentioned earlier, anyone, even an atheist, can pass themselves off as a man or woman of God. All they need is some document saying that they were educated in some institution and passed or accepted by a group of people, and there you have it. Usually, the group that accepts them or their documents is one that is totally ignorant of the qualifications that God requires and what He has to say about them. If any man or woman is claiming to be a minister of God's, then the very first thing they need to be telling those that listen to them is what we need to be doing to please God first before seeking solutions to our problems. In several discussions with nationally known preachers that are considered leaders in our community, when asked, what do we need to do to get back on the right track to make some things better for our community, not one of them mentioned anything that could remotely be considered as a recognition of God and His part in what is happening to us. Their solutions all centered around politics and race. Thus, when leaders who carry the title of Reverend respond to problems without saying that we need to seek God first, then you need to steer clear of them, period. The reason for this is quite simple. They don't know God and are not His anointed. Without a doubt, any solution that we seek must first include what God has to say about our situation. Not meaning any disrespect to Him, while listening to a speech by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the speech was entitled Drum Major's Instinct, Dr. King said something that shows that even he, with all of the good that he did, was in error when it concerns our view of God and Christ and our relationship to Him. Dr. King stated how he wanted to be able to be with Christ either on His right hand or His left. There is a quote in that part of the speech where he is saying that when the time comes that he desired to be in the presence of Christ either on His left hand or on His right hand, just as long as he is, you know, with Christ. It didn't make no difference to him. He just wanted to be on his left hand or right hand. Now, the thing is this. He, Dr. King, used a scriptural basis found in Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 40, where James and John, the sons of Zebedee, asked Jesus to allow them to sit one on His right hand and the other on the left. Jesus responded by saying they didn't know what they were asking. And the thing is, here is why He said that. Now, in the passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter number 25, verses number 34 and 46, Jesus says that those that are on his right hand will enter into heaven, while those on the left hand or left side will be dispatched to hell. Can you imagine a preacher saying that they want to be on his left side? Yet, because Dr. King said it, no one questioned it without being ridiculed. I don't know whether anybody did question him about that at the time. This is where our major stumbling block lies. You don't question well-known religious leaders, period. You keep your opinions to yourself. Well, an anointed man or woman of God will speak out about anything that the people believe when it comes down to situations in our lives that go against the Word of God. I would challenge all of you, if you know a preacher and you see them outside of a church environment, like at a community function or rally, ask them, what is the first thing that we need to do to correct the problems that are facing our community? I can guarantee you, 99% of the time, the first thing that will come out of their mouths will be something along the lines of what man can or should do outside of repenting and getting right with God. The call to repentance should be the first thing any truly spirit-filled person will say, bar none. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which walk after, which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says this: this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. These are but a few of many scriptures that exhort us to get away from looking at situations the way the ungodly look at them. You have God's point of view, or spirit, and you have man's point of view, the flesh. The two are totally contrary to each other. There is not one thing that man can do in the realm of thinking or acting that will please God. Not one. Yet the majority of preachers in our community make it appear that we can. Quoting the Reverend Jesse Jackson some decades back, he made a statement to the fact that if the lion can lay down with the lamb, then truly we, all people, can come together and be at peace. Now, what's wrong with this statement, which the first part is based on Isaiah chapter number 11, verses 6 through 8, where it says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. I think that's some kind of a poison, another type of a poisonous snake or something. Anyway, what Reverend Jackson appears to be saying is that all of this will happen because of something that the animals themselves decide to do, when the facts are this will only occur when God directs them to do it. Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 9 says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." It is only in the realm of holiness and righteousness, in all my holy mountain, that these things will occur. And that is where one of our major problems with our spiritual condition occurs. We tend to think that we are all right with God because our leaders make us think that we are all right, when in reality, we are raising a stink in his nostrils because of our sinful ways, which, once again, are the result of preachers that don't know what they are talking about. The Reverend Al Sharpton, in a radio discussion on the stance of some politicians and right-wing talk show hosts about how taxpayer-funded abortion is being made to be a primary target for elimination from the Obama health care bill, said that abortion, should be a non-issue or something to that effect. And many in this nation, including most of our religious leaders, feel the same way. The problem is, while those on the politically correct left side of the aisle consider other things like jobs, the economy, healthcare, crime, racism, and other things to be more important than the abortion issue, I submit to you today that it is because of abortion that God is allowing these other things to occur. Get rid of abortion, except in extreme cases, and God will begin to bless us again like he used to. Reverend Sharpton, Reverend Jackson, and others may have good motives and may be expressing their feelings about these and other issues, but they are doing it in the flesh without God's insight, and that spells disaster to all that listen to them and follow their lead. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12 and Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 25. Both of these scriptures say the same thing. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just because something seems right does not mean that God goes along with it. Therefore, if you continue to follow those solutions in spite of God's objections to them, you will have a disaster somewhere down the road. If you think I am stretching the truth, just look at the condition of this nation today versus nearly 40 years ago, before abortion was made legal. I rest my case. Now, to be sure, I am not saying that these men are being deliberately misleading. They are all good men as far as I am concerned, and I do support them with my prayers. However, when it comes to what God has to say about some of the things that these men are say are solutions, then that is where my support ends. Some people say I am trying to find fault. I say, call it what you will. It is what it is. If you are driving down a street and you come to a stoplight that is malfunctioning, were you trying to find fault with it, or was it obvious? Well, to a person that is walking in the Spirit, it is the same thing. We are not looking for fault, but it is right there in front of us, and is just that obvious. It is only those that are blind that either can't or don't want to see it. Everything that is wrong in this nation can be traced back to one thing, and that is God allowing these things to happen because of our sinful ways. And that won't change as long as we continue to listen to preachers that are just as blind as those that follow them. The watchman is asleep and needs to be replaced with someone who is awake, alert, and willing to not only see the problem, but to seek God for the solution and then warn the people of the consequences of their disobedience. Well, that is the end of our message. And I trust that you got something from it. See, there's a lot of, like I said, there are a lot of things that are going wrong in this nation, and especially in the black community. And basically all of them have their ties to something that we're doing wrong in the eyes of God. Otherwise, God wouldn't be allowing these things to happen with the frequency and severity that they are happening, and for the length of time that they're happening. There has to be something that's wrong, and we need to find out what it is. And that's what the message is about. Because as long as we try to find or make up solutions based on our flesh, what we feel needs to be straightened out, we're going to miss the boat. We need to find out what God says we need to do. And then most of the time what we need to do, because he's allowing something to happen, is because he's trying to send us a message that we need to get our act together. And that means that we might need to repent and turn from our wicked ways, like found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14 that I read earlier. We've got all these things, you know, where Christ, you know, he spoke many times about repentance and turning from your wicked ways. He told a couple of people to go their way, that he wasn't going to condemn them now anything or judge them now or at that particular time, but he told them to go their way and sin no more. Now, when somebody, if he's going to tell somebody not to sin anymore, then obviously that's a fair warning that if you sin again, there might be some other more dire consequences. Because one of the people, when he healed the person, he told the person, go and sin no more unless something worse comes on you. We keep on having all this stuff happening to us. We don't know why it's happening, because we're looking at things through the flesh. But see, through the spirit, it's quite obvious what the problem is. And the problem is that we are at odds with God. We're doing something God doesn't like, and we need to find out what it is and get our act together so that whatever is causing us problems, God can remove it from our lives and things, so we can be blessed again like he's promised. But like I'm saying, it takes a man of God to get that direction from God to find out what the problem is, and then to have the guts to tell the people. But you know, a lot of preachers, they might see the problem and know that God is sending this problem across the land because of something we're doing, but they won't say anything about it. But see, the fact that they're trying to protect their reputation or their position in the community or whatever. But God's warning for them, as I mentioned in part one, is that when you do something like that, that if people die and a soul is lost, when you could have delivered the message to that person and saved their soul, they die and they end up in hell, then you're going to have to suffer or pay the price for that person being, for that soul being lost. Now, that could very well mean you might wind up being in hell there with them. Just saying. See, God got a whole lot of other ways he can do things. He can make you have to suffer some painful illness or something for weeks, months, or years or something like that. Or the loss of losing a member of your family, the death of somebody in your family, or any one of hundreds of other things that he could do. I don't know what all he could do. I mean, I know he can do just about anything he wants to do, so I'm not going to name them all. But the thing is this, the bottom line is we need to get our act together. And the ones that's supposed to be responsible for doing that are preachers. If the preacher ain't doing that, then woe unto them. But of course, they got to be anointed to be doing it in the first place. If they aren't anointed and they're a fake preacher, well, that's trouble for them as well. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out our message for this series. Hope you got something from it. And until we get together again, as usual, let me just say, may God bless you and your families real good. Good day.